gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head high.
There's always gonna be enough,
always
gonna wanna make it
move.
Always gonna be enough,
oh yeah.
Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. Think about how fast I can move. There's always waiting on the other side.
We're going to go ahead and continue on with the series that Pastor Gene has been speaking on, Breaking New Ground. I may have enjoyed the series. I tell you what, it has been challenging. It's been a challenge to hopefully each and every one of us. I know for myself specifically, I've been challenged by this series. And this morning, I'm going to continue on with that. As Pastor Mel said, kind of got called up from the minors late last night, fill in this morning. But the great thing about it is that God is speaking to me this morning just as much as anybody else. And so as I share this morning, realize that I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but mine are really sore right now. God's been stepping on them all night long. I want to start this morning by looking at in Exodus chapter 18 and the story of Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro, who came to visit, and kind of what happened and took place in between them there. You can follow it on the screens, starting in verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" But Moses replied, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions." I want to ask you a question this morning. What role are you playing? We all have roles. We all have who or something or someone that we are trying to be. We have this idea that affects us, the way we do things every day of who we should be. And some of those ideas are from outside sources. They're what everyone else thinks you should be or you should do. Some of those ideas are internal. They're from inside ourselves. These roles, these ideas of things that we should be or do. And we strive so hard to fill these roles. We run around just constantly chasing after this ultimate persona that's floating around in our heads of who we think we should be. We become almost chained to this idea, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, it may be the idea of, man, I have to work harder so I can be successful in my job. Or I have to make sure all of this gets done so someone won't think I'm a failure. Or I can't do that because someone of my status doesn't do those kinds of things. It's constantly driving us to do, to make, to become something we're not in order to play the role of maybe it's provider, maybe it's the role of successful businessman, maybe it's the role of mom. Maybe it's that idea of what you think a spiritually mature Christian should be. And it drives us. And we're constantly trying to live up to this role that we've imposed upon ourselves. You see, in these scriptures, that's what Moses was doing. He was playing a role here. He had it in his head that he had to be the judge for everyone's squabbles. He even says, "Because the people come to me." He let other people decide who he was and what he was going to be doing on a daily basis. Let me tell you something. I'm sure in his head he thought, man, you know, that this is what the people want, this is what they expect, so this must be what God wants and expects of me. But in Scripture, when you look through Scripture, whenever there's a large group of people that want something or don't want something, the majority of time, they're wrong. The large majority of people are almost never right in Scripture. That's just the way it is. Look through there. And so what happens is you have those few, those Joshuas and Calebs, the few people who are really following after God, who don't care what anybody else thinks, who don't care what everybody else is saying. They're in tune with God and following God. Those are the people that you want to surround yourself with. Those are the kind of people that you want to be. You can't go with the masses. You can't just let them decide for you. Those are the kind of people, those are the people that I call the released ones. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is, are you released? Or have you been released? Released from what? The first thing is, you have to be released from others. I'm going to look at a story in Mark. It's Mark chapter 10. I just lost my place in Exodus. To find that later. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I love this story because Bartimaeus doesn't care. Bartimaeus doesn't care what else is going on, doesn't care what anybody else is thinking about him, doesn't care what anybody else is saying to him. I want you to picture him for a minute. He's sitting on the side of the road, probably in the same spot that he had sat for years, begging for coins, for handouts, for food. He had his coat wrapped around him, and he begins to hear this crowd start to go by, and he can tell it's a big crowd, an excited crowd, and he's probably trying to get somebody's attention and asking, hey, what's going on? Who is this? Why is everybody running by like this? And I'm sure people are turning to him just like, man, just shut up and sit there on the side of the road like you always do. Quit bothering us. He finally overhears somebody say, oh, it's Jesus. Now, would you just please be quiet? You're interrupting. And he's sitting there, and as soon as he hears it's Jesus, he just begins to yell, Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, help! People are turning around like, dude, shut up. That is so annoying. Do you really think Jesus has time for you right now? You're just a blind beggar. He doesn't want to mess with you. You just sit there and be quiet and let Jesus go on about his business and quit bothering everybody. But Bartimaeus, it's like it energized him even more. He began to yell even louder, Jesus! Jesus! And it worked. He heard him. Bartimaeus didn't care. He wasn't going to let what other people thought affect him. He wasn't going to let what other people thought he should or shouldn't do keep him from getting to Jesus. Man, in our own lives, how many times do we do that? How many times do we feel God telling us to do something or we want to draw closer to him, but the first thing that pops into our head when we think that is, what is this person going to think? What is this person going to do if I really do what God wants me to do? Or what is this person going to say to me if I follow after God regardless? And we become entrapped, we become chained by what others think, and it keeps us from God. It keeps us from growing closer to Jesus. Bartimaeus didn't care. He's like, man, you can tell me to shut up all you want. You could pick up sticks and rocks and start beating me. I'm going to yell even louder because I know that Jesus has something for me. I know that my God has something better for me, and I'm not going to let what you say or what you think about me keep me from what God has for me. The next thing he does when Jesus gets his attention, or when he gets Jesus' attention and Jesus says, come, I want you to look at verse 50. So Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. That may not seem like such a big thing, but you have to realize at that time, Bartimaeus is a blind man. He's a beggar. That coat really was his life. That coat is what kept him warm at night. He'd bundle up in that thing, and that kept him from freezing to death. That coat is what identified him as Bartimaeus the beggar, to let him know, let people know as they pass by that this man needs our help. This man needs charity. This man needs a handout. And so Bartimaeus, in standing up and hearing when Jesus said, come here, when he stood up and he took that coat off, and he took it off and he threw it aside, that wasn't just, oh, I'm laying down my coat. He's saying, I am laying down everything that I used to be. I am laying down the one thing that I have held on to for so long because it's time to follow after Jesus. And I'm leaving behind the old man. I'm leaving behind my old identity. And I'm following after God. He's saying no longer is this coat, no longer is this identity going to keep me grounded to this one spot. No longer is this safety blanket going to keep me from following after God with all my heart. He didn't know that Jesus was going to heal him. He didn't know for sure at that point that Jesus was going to make him receive his sight. But he said, in faith, I'm taking off and I am casting off the old things. In faith, I am getting rid of the things that have held me down and rooted me to this spot in my life. In faith, I am stepping out and I am going to Jesus, believing that he has something better for me in the future. His social status was wrapped up in that coat. What everybody thought about him, what everybody expected of him was wrapped up in that coat. And he said, I'm done. I'm done living the way you want me to live. I'm done living the way that society tells me I have to live. And I'm following after Jesus regardless of what it's going to cost me in the long run. What's the one thing that has kept you rooted to the spot you're in? What's that one thing that has kept you from drawing closer to God? What's that one thing that has kept you in spiritual darkness? Why are you still holding on to it? Don't you know Jesus is just down the road saying, come here. And I'm right here, just come here. He's just waiting for you to get up and tap and toss that thing aside and to follow after him. Think for a moment about Moses. If Moses would have stayed in that spot and would have let what others wanted him to do decide who he was going to be. And he would have stayed there from sunup to sundown every day, doing people's court, deciding all these stupid little quarrels. Well, this person stole my goat. What a waste. What would have happened? They would have stayed in that same spot, and they would have stayed there as a nation, and they would have rotted, and they would have died. Bartimaeus hadn't got up, tossed aside his coat. He would have stayed in that same spot for the rest of his life. And yeah, he would have had his coat. Yeah, he would have got a few cents here and there. But eventually, he would have died. Spiritually, there are too many Christians that are too rooted to the spot they're in. They're comfortable there because of what everybody else thinks. Because that's what's expected of them. And they're staying in the same spot. And the whole time, Jesus is down the road saying, come here, come here. Come here, just get up and come here. And they're staying in that same spot and they're rotting and they're dying spiritually. We can't let what others think of us, the expectations that others have of us, decide who we are and what we're going to be. Jesus has something so much better for you. The next thing that we have to be released from, you have to be released from yourself. This is a lot harder. You see, I think Moses really thought he was doing what he should be doing. Everybody else expected it of him. I think in his own heart that he really thought, well, I guess this is what a leader's supposed to do. It's what a leader's supposed to look like. This is what I'm called to do. This is a role that I'm called to play. But Jethro, who's Moses' father-in-law, comes to him and he basically says through the rest of that chapter, he talks to him, he says, all right, man, I'm a little older than you. I've been around a little bit longer. I'm going to give you some advice. Take it or leave it. But you're killing yourself. You're just killing yourself having to sit here all day and listening to all these stupid little squabbles You know, and you're not doing the people that you're supposed to be leading, you're not doing them any good. So this is what you should do. You should find men who are wise, who make good decisions, put them in charge of groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10, and let the people go to them with their problems. He basically sets up the judicial system, is what it is. You know, with the lower courts on up to, then if they can't decide, eventually it would get to Moses, but only the really hard ones that were big problems. And it freed Moses up to do the things that he should be doing. I think Moses was doing those things because he felt like, this is what I have to do in order to please God. This is what I have to do in order to gain the favor of God in my life, is I just have to fill this role. When in reality, God had something so much greater for him just waiting around the corner. Man, in our own lives, it's the same way. We start to think, I've got to do this, I've got to do that to please God, to gain the favor of God in my life. And God's saying, no, you don't. What pressures are you putting on yourself that you don't have to? Are you trying to earn the favor of God in your lives? Because it's impossible. Look what Romans says. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, two verses before this is the, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is what Paul says here, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. You see, we get into this idea, this mindset that we have to act, we have to talk, we have to dress, we have to look a certain way in order to have a relationship with God. And the truth is, what the Bible says here, that's all a lie. All you have to do is believe. I want you to think about all you guys in the group. Think about when you were younger, you were high school, and you wanted to ask a girl out. You, whether it's to the prom or a date or whatever it is, you want to ask a girl out. What do? Man, you get up that morning. The morning you're planning on doing it, you make sure you got your good shirt on, make sure it all looks good, make sure your hair's fixed just right. Remember back when we all had lots of hair? That was nice. Made sure everything looked just right. You went into your dad's bathroom and stole some of his aftershave so he'd smell good. Made sure that you had the walk and walked up to her. Hey, baby. You practiced what you were going to say, how you were going to say it. You had everything planned out. You knew that you wanted to walk, to look, to act, to talk a certain way. And why did you do that? Because in the back of your head, you were afraid that if you didn't do things that way, if you didn't look your best, if you didn't say the right words, she was going to say no. Fortunately, unfortunately, we let that spill over into our relationship with God sometimes. We think we need to dress just a certain way. Think we need to act just a certain way. Think we need to talk a certain way. Think we need to go to all the right places. Because if I don't do this, then God's not going to want me. He's going to reject me. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see, Crystal and I remember the time that I first asked her out. We had been hanging out with friends and groups and doing different things. And I worked out at a West 7th Street Walmart out in the automotive section. And it was a Saturday night, and I was working till like 10 o'clock. And the next Saturday, I was going to get off early. So I was like, man, that'll be great. I'll ask Crystal, see if she wants to go watch a movie or something, and we'll have our first date. And that night, unbeknownst to me, the Saturday night that I was at work, Crystal, who lived basically at I-44 and Main Street, right in the neighborhood right there, way across town, decided at about 9 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night, that she needed a toothbrush. And decided that the best place to buy a toothbrush would be West 7th Street Walmart, clear across town. And so she happens to show up that night, and looking for a toothbrush, somehow ends up in the automotive section. And so we're walking towards the front. I was having to take my cash register bag up front or something. I'm walking with her, and we're just kind of talking. And we get towards the front, and I'm talking to her. I'm like, man, I get off next Saturday a little bit early. How would you like to? Yes. Go to a movie. And it was great. And she left without a toothbrush. And went home, and we had our first date and everything else, you know, is history. Man, that's how God is with us. God's not the girl standing in the corner at the dance looking you up and down saying, no, you are all wrong. Before you want to dance with me, you got to fix some things. God's sitting there on the edge of his seat, and he's just waiting for you to come. He's just waiting for you to believe. He's just waiting for you to come to him and say, God, I need you, and he's going to snatch you up. He's going to say, yes, 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 I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting for you to come to your senses. I've been waiting for you to get to this spot. And he's excited, and he's so in love with you. You don't have to go through all of these things. You don't have to prepare yourself. How many of you have heard people say, oh, God wouldn't want me. I'm just too messed up. And that's a lie. God wants you. He desires you. He's longing for you. He's standing there calling you, wanting you to come and be a part. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Then the next 10 verses, it goes on to talk about when we fall, when we mess up, when we sin, and how God responds to that and how we should respond to that. And then in verse 12, this is what the writer says. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but will become strong. I want you to think about that. It doesn't say, man, after you fall and God shows you that you were wrong, it doesn't say then you have to get up and you have to go offer a sacrifice. It doesn't say you have to go and say 15 Hail Marys. It doesn't say you have to jump through all these hoops. All it says is get up and go. Stop beating yourself up over your failings. Stop beating yourself up over the times in your life when you've messed up. God doesn't even remember those things. God doesn't even remember that they happened when you ask for forgiveness. It says, get up and take a new grip with your hands. Strengthen your knees and begin to run the race that God has set before us, keeping your eyes always on the prize, Jesus Christ. We need to stop worrying about all the traditions, all the things that religion has told us that we have to do in order to have a relationship with God. We need to stop worrying about all the things that we've been told our entire lives and we've somehow internalized and made ourselves believe that we're not good enough. You know what? God doesn't care. God doesn't care who you are. God doesn't care what you've done. Jesus says, come unto me all. He doesn't say, come unto me all of you who are dressed the right way. He doesn't say, come unto me, all of you who have the right job, all of you who run in the right social circles, all of you who have done your penance this week. He says, come unto me, all of you. We've done such a terrible job, the church as a whole, making that message known. It's become so ingrained in our lives that we have to act, we have to talk, we have to dress, we have to do all of these things to earn the favor of God. And it's all a lie. It's all barriers set up by the enemy to keep people from growing closer to God. So stop worrying about what you did last week. Stop worrying about the sins of your past life. And just like blind Bartimaeus, you stand up and you take that off and you cast it aside and saying, I am keeping my eyes on the prize that is set before me. I am keeping my eyes on Jesus who is standing at the finish line and saying, I'm here. All you have to do is keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about anything else. Don't let anything else affect you and how you run the race. You keep your eyes on me and run. Run to me. And when we do those things, when we become released from the things that have kept us from God, whether it's the roles and the expectations that others have placed on you, or whether it's the role that you yourself have made. When you become released from others, you're released from yourself, you become released to God. And God, in His power and His awesomeness, will begin to reveal Himself to you. In Exodus, back in Exodus chapter 18, after Moses takes this advice from Jethro, you know what happens? Exodus chapter 19. In my Bible, the heading is, "The Lord Reveals Himself at Sinai." Once Moses got to the point where he said, "I don't care what you think. Don't care if you're disappointed in me. I don't care if this makes you mad that I'm not sitting here listening to all your little quarrels. I'm no longer going to let myself be less than what God wants me to be. No longer going to keep myself in a cage or chained to this idea of who I think a good leader should be. I'm going to go after God." God shows up. And He shows up at Sinai, and He reveals Himself in a way that He had never revealed Himself before. When you get to that point in your life, let me tell you something. Crystal and I are right there. When you get to that point in your life when you say, "I'm done. I'm done caring what everybody else thinks. I'm done trying to live up to these unrealistic expectations that I have of myself. And I don't care if it makes my boss mad. I don't care if he fires me. I don't care if my parents tell me I'm stupid. I don't care if my closest friends think I'm making the biggest mistake of my life. I am going to get up because I hear Jesus saying, 'Come,' and I'm going to get up and cast that aside, and I'm going to run after God. I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to crawl. I'm going to get up and run towards God and the better life that He has for me." As our musicians come, I want you to realize when you do that, God begins to open doors. God begins to reveal Himself to you in a new way that you have never felt Him before. God begins to take care of things in your life. And Crystal and I can tell you, in the last 6 months, we've had door after door open up for us. That God has miraculously provided for us time and time again. That we've done things that make no sense. We've done things that people would say, "You're stupid." God always gives back greater than what we give up. God always gives back more than what you've given away. God will reveal Himself to you in new ways. He will strengthen your relationship with Him. All you have to do is come. All you have to do is say, "I'm done with this. I'm done with all of this that's holding me back, and I'm following after God regardless of what that means." Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've always been chained to that same spot, you've been afraid to follow after God, maybe you've been afraid He would reject you, God's waiting for you. He's standing just down the road saying, "Come." So this morning, if that's you and you've never accepted Jesus, you've never made the decision to follow after Him, I want to give you that chance right now this morning. If that's you with no one else looking around, we're not going to embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Don't miss this opportunity. God's calling to you. Come. Come. Anyone else? We're going to say a prayer. I want everyone to repeat it after me. And if you raised your hand this morning, I want you to repeat this prayer and take it to heart. God, I'm coming after You. And I believe that You sacrificed Your Son for me. And God, I'm going to follow after You for the rest of my life. I accept your forgiveness. And I accept your grace. And I am coming after you. Amen. If you raised your hand this morning and said that prayer for the first time, we say welcome. You just made the best decision of your life. This morning, we're going to end with a song. As we sing the song, I want to invite you, if you're in that spot where you've let things keep you from God, whatever they are, whether they're others' expectations or things you've put on yourself, and you're ready to say, God, I'm coming regardless. Regardless of what happens around me, I'm going to follow after you. As we sing this song, I want you to come forward and just make that decision.
Only your grace. Only your grace. Only you could set me free. Help us sing it. It just says, only your love.
Only your love
has captured my heart.
Has captured my heart.
We hear you call.
We hear you
call. Oh, you're calling me.
Come.
You're drawing me. Like Pastor Matt was just saying, God speaks to us every minute of every day of every month of every year. And it's when we just say, God, I surrender and I lay down everything that I think my life should be and everything that my parents think my life should be, and I'm going to live solely for you. That's when we hear God and we can hear him say, I hear you calling, come, come, come. We hear you calling,
come, come,
oh God, we hear you calling, come, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh
come,
oh I hear you calling.
Oh,
oh, oh.
That are here this morning. God, I pray that they will learn to be released from the things that have kept them from you. God, right now, I pray over this church a spirit of freedom. God, I pray over this church a release from the bonds and the chains that society has placed on us. God, I pray over this church a release and a freedom from the chains that we have placed on ourselves, God, that we would begin to walk as a church, as a people, in the freedom, in the blessing that you have for us, God. God, that we would cast aside those things that have entangled us, that we would cast aside those things that have identified us in the past, and God, that we would run after you. God, that we would not walk, that we would not trot, God, but that we would go at full speed towards the goal that you have set in front of us. Right now, God, I pray a release over this church. God, that as we begin to walk in your freedom, as we begin to live in your power, God, that there would be a new anointing, that there would be a new revelation of you in our lives and in our church. God, that right now, come on, right now, from this moment on, God, we are new. We are a new people. We are a new generation. God, and we are coming for you. God, we are coming after you in all that we are, with everything we have. And God, nothing and no one is going to hinder us. Nothing is going to keep us from the blessings that you have for us in our lives. Amen. Go this morning and be released to be the person that God has called you to be. Amen. Thank you. You guys are dismissed. Have a great day. Find a life group and enjoy the game tonight.